Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
So obviously we're almost at the end of the year and it becomes that weird time where some of us go into that funny introspective place where we assess the year that we've had and some of us just stumble blindly into whatever next year may bring. We don't like to overthink this too much, but I was kind of thinking a little bit about this year, and it's been a big year for us as a family. Jesse started school, Harry started kinder, little Ryan came along, and one of my great delights this year has been Jesse going to school and learning to read and just growing and developing and doing all the things she does, and she makes me laugh. Her brain is a weird, weird, wonderful place. And every now and again, we get a bizarre little insight into it. Yeah, so mum. That woman, wow. Grandfather, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Dad. I think she's got more practical skills than you might, Dad. If I needed someone to come and change a light bulb, I'd be asking her before I asked you. But, you know, it's just... So, like, a few times I've been, you know, like, I'll do some reading or do something with Jessie, and she'll just surprise me with, like, how much she gets, and I don't in any way think that she's exceptionally gifted. I think she's probably just consistently middle of the road, but just watching that kind of development in her has been really, really exciting. And a couple of times I've done stuff with her, and I go, how do you know that? And she goes, because I go to school, Dad. Like... I never did. So she came home with this piece of gold for me the other day, which, you know, I don't even know if it's true or not, but if a five-year-old says it's true, it probably is. So everyone get your hand up for me and make a fist. So that's about the size of your heart. Okay, and now get two fists, put them together. That's about the size of your brain. Everyone's looking to see who's got the biggest brain. So Jessie and I entered into this bizarre discussion about what happens if my brain tried to fit inside her head and what happens if her brain was rolling around in mine. So I don't really know where we're going with that. So I just thought I'd share that. That's kind of it. I'm good. Interesting story. Is that the key, Jacinta? So I've been thinking a bit and praying a little bit about this morning. And I was asking God for, you know, this really good morning. And God, you know, I just pray that you give me some great insights out of your scriptures and give me something to, you know, inspire and encourage and motivate. And, you know, I want this morning to be impacting and people to go away with it. And in the midst of praying all of this stuff, I really felt challenged by God about why I wanted to preach a great message. Was it because I wanted to see God move and people really impacted and life change stuff happened? Or was it because I wanted to look really good? And what would happen if I preached like a genuinely horrible Barry Crocker of a message, but God did really, really cool stuff through the offering and announcements? Like, would I walk away from that going, great morning? Or would I walk away from it going, oh, that was terrible. So what was more important to me? God showing up and moving and maybe me looking like an idiot, or, which I know is probably going to happen anyway, so it's okay. I know you're all thinking it. Let's just get it out there. Hey, yeah, that happened 5 minutes ago when you told the fist thing. But was it okay within myself if I preached a stinker and God moved? Or would I rather preach like a kick-ass message that you guys walked away from going, wow, that was great, but nothing really changed? Because that would really be okay, because Phil's back next week, so he'll bring something that'll change your life. And I know what the answer should be, and I know straight off the bat, in theory, I'm meant to go, yeah, no, God, as long as you move, that's all that matters. But I've been having this internal conflict all week about, like, am I completely okay if I look like a fool? Which, you know, when I read, like, say, 1 Corinthians 4:9, it says, instead, sometimes I think God has put us apostles on display. We've become a spectacle to the entire world, to people and angels alike. Our dedication to Christ makes us look like fools, but you claim to be so wise. And he goes on. And I'm not saying that God actually gave me that choice this morning, that I can look good and nothing will change for you guys, or stuff can change for you guys and I'll look like an idiot. But it was more a personal challenge that God kind of issued me. And the reality is for me, which like out of all the things that God's resolved in my life over the last decade or so, the one thing that I'm 100% confident in is I really don't care what anyone thinks. Apart from my wife and about four or five other people, I really don't care. And I say that without any sense of arrogance, or it's just something that God's given me is a really good sense of who I am and a foundation in Him and a confidence in Christ and stuff. So I know we all try and teach our kids that we should be, you know, we shouldn't be people pleasers and we shouldn't. But the truth for those of you who really know me is I really don't care. And that's most of the time a real strength that's God given me to in the different situations that I find myself in. But I was going, can I honestly from the bottom of my heart say, God, I don't care? If I walk away from here and have been a bit of a fool, do I not care? Because, like, I was kind of going, all right, God, what have you got for this morning? What have you got for this morning? And all week I've been going, God, what have you got for this morning? And I've had a few conversations with a few different people, and I've seen Jacinta a few times this week. And she's going, what are you preaching on? I go, oh, I've got a few thoughts, which is code for nothing. I've got nothing. Zero. You know, I'm reading the Bible and I'm praying and I'm doing all the right things and nothing, like nothing at all. And, you know, the reality is I could probably just... I think it's sneaking up on me. I think that I could download a little message off the internet or pull an old message out and maybe insert my kids' names in, you know, another preacher's notes and do a pretty good job. Like, just in terms of doing a presentation, you know, that'd be cool and you guys would be entertained and you might learn something and I'd go home and go, that was close. But I didn't really think that's what God wanted me to do this morning. And this is where I've got really challenged kind of out of this morning, because I've got nothing. I have prayed, and last night I was up quite late, and I was praying, and got to about 1:30, and I went, all right, guys, so this is going to be one of those 11th hour things. You know, like, you're going to give me some kind of lightning bolt of inspiration, you know, when I wake up, you know. And, like, Phil preached a great message a couple of weeks ago with the whole Abraham and Isaac thing. You know, where Abraham was prepared to sacrifice Isaac and right at the very last minute as the knife's in the air, God provides the ram and Rammy's there and everyone's happy and it's all good. And so I went to bed last night and I went, God, it's okay. You got it sorted. I'm going to go to sleep and at some point I'm going to have a dream, like a Jacob-style dream where God inspires me and I wake up and I'm just going to have this message that's just going to spew forth out of me and it's just going to be incredible. And so I set my alarm after a few token hours sleep and I got up and I stumbled my way to the iPad this morning and realized I still had nothing. And so I sat there in the dark trying to resolve this with God. And this is where we are. We're in this place right now. So unfortunately, or fortunately, the answer is no, I got nothing, especially inspiring from God. And to me, that kind of highlights my year. It's been like this whole year has been a giant test in my life. It's been a really interesting, challenging year. It's felt in some ways that the whole world has revolved around me. Not that, you know, if you're thinking maybe I'm getting a little bit narcissistic or, you know, that the world's all about me, it's kind of felt that way. Not in a good way, not like, you know, the world's all about me and everyone's bringing me stuff, but the world, has anyone seen The Truman Show? So the idea of The Truman Show is there's this guy and he's completely unaware that he's actually in a TV show and he's kind of living in this big dome and the producers create constant different situations and orchestrate his life to create the outcomes they want for entertainment's sake, and he's not really in control of anything, and stuff just happens around him to force him into different decisions and different places, and it's kind of felt my life has been a little bit like that, that all year God has just moved chess pieces around to present me with challenges and to present me with tests, which, you know, has been interesting. And I guess the thing that I've realized about being tested by God is that, same as a test in a class or something, is that it's not really a test if God just gives you the answer when you ask for it. Like if God just kept giving me the answer, that doesn't really provide any space for me to grow or for me to learn, or, you know, like if I've had a few interesting years in my own personal journey, and I came out of that and came into this year and just went, God, you know what? I am in a place now where I 100% trust you. And I probably should have just kept that to myself, because it's felt like as soon as I've said that, God's gone, all right, well, show me. And sometimes we get tested, and I think it's a bit like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we get thrown into the test or thrown into the fiery furnace, and we look around, and Jesus is, or God's standing right there next to us. And it's this incredibly reassuring thing that God is just there. And in the midst of all of it, it's okay because God's just there. And I think sometimes we get tested in that way, and other times we get tested, and it's a little bit like Job maybe, where just everything gets, you just get stripped back and everything gets taken away, and you're left in a place where you know in your head, and maybe you know at the core of your being, that God's there, but it feels like he's not. And that's largely has been how my year has been, where I have gone from feeling like God and I stand side by side to largely I start my prayers this year going, God, I'm sure you're listening, but I'm just throwing this out there. It doesn't really feel like you are. And that's okay, because I think sometimes we maybe lose focus of God in the midst of our challenges because we're more focused on the challenge than we are on God. But I also think there's an element when sometimes God might shield himself from us to really see what's at our core. You know, and we look at Job, and Job goes through these incredible challenges, and he never once denies God. He questions and he's going, God, how does this work? But in his core, he knows that God is there. And even if it's not the outcome that Job wants, God's still in control of it. So it's been this really interesting place, you know, where I really haven't felt like God is there at all. I know he is. And in my head, I know. And in my heart, like the very core of my being, I know. And in the midst of this, God, I have this, you know, that peace that surpasses understanding, where I've gone, it's okay. It doesn't feel like it, but I'm sure God has it under control. You know, and some of that has been absolute faith, and some of it has been me crossing my fingers a little bit and just with blind optimism trusting that he is at times. But we shouldn't obviously live our life based on feelings, right? Because feelings come and go. Some days we're happy, some days we're sad. Some days we don't know what we're feeling. We don't want to spend our life making decisions based around our feelings. We need to get to that point where we have like some inner resolve around us, and we're really confident in the foundation of who we are and who God has made us. You know, as part of our progression and our journey of faith, we need to at some point get to a place where we go, you know what, God, I actually know that I know that you have this. It doesn't feel like it, it doesn't look like it, but I know that I know. And that's a bit of a journey of progression, I think, for all of us, where we go, it's okay, it's all part of the test. It's okay, we have times where it's like that. You know, and the question that I guess I've been asking myself is, what is the lesson I'm meant to learn in all of this? I came out of some stuff a few years ago and realized if I had have asked that question, God, what do you want me to learn out of this? I probably could have come through a few situations in 3 months rather than 3 years and went, oh, why didn't I think of that before? But I've been like assessing kind of all the different little challenges that and big challenges, and that's what it's been like. Some things have been really big challenges this year, and some things have been small, and some have been like life-changing things, and some have just been daily little bits and pieces, and they all look like they're in different areas of my life. But as I was sitting there this morning in the midst of no inspiration, I came to a place where I realized that all of these things were that I've been challenged with this year and I've been tested with this year really were asking just one question of me. And the question that God's been asking me all year is, do I just say I trust in God, or do I really trust Him? Because there's a big difference, right? There's a big difference between saying we trust God and really trusting Him. And for me, really trusting in God means I don't get stressed. I'm not saying that's the answer for everybody, but for me personally, really trusting in God and the progression of me going, yes, I really trust in God, is the fact that when stuff comes up, I'm not stressed about it. I don't go away and think about it. I don't go away and mull over it and worry about it and kind of get obsessed by it. And in the past where I've gone away and when I'm, you know, my solution to challenges and stress and whatever is that I'll just work harder at it and I'll just keep pushing forward to get to a place for me where I can say I really genuinely trust in God has been when, with all of this stuff happening, I go, I just got to trust that God has it. And I go to sleep at night and I'm not worried about it. And when I'm with my kids, I'm not thinking about all the other challenges that I have this kind of, you know, deep-seated foundational belief that even though it doesn't feel like it, God has it sorted. You know, so everything for me around this year has been asking that question. And I've been a few of the scriptures this year. You know, for me, this year I've really hung tight to the Word of God. I've always kind of, I made a decision when I was 13. To ask God, we'd always growing up in church and stuff. But for me personally, when I went, yep, God, I want you as part of my life, I was 13. And ever since then, I felt like God's spoken to me quite a bit, quite clearly. I think I've been blessed in an ability to recognize God, the way that God speaks to me. And we've had some, you know, great conversations over the journey and a lot of times in the midst of, you know, challenges and trials and stress and the good and the bad and all of that, like I've been able to hear God's voice quite clearly. But this year it hasn't been that way. So I've really hung tight to the scriptures because for me, if I'm not hearing God's voice personally, well, I've still got God-inspired words. So I've been hanging tight to the scriptures and just meditating on stuff and reading stuff over and over again. And a few of the ones that God's given me this year and that I've really been looking at, I've just been around trust. So Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desire. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will help you. Psalm 31:14 says, but I am trusting you, O God. I am saying, you are my God. Let your favor shine down upon your servant and your unfailing love rescue me. And then Luke 16 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with a lot. Whoever's dishonest with a little will be dishonest with much. And that's kind of maybe the journey that I've really been on. And I think I've really resolved, hopefully, God and I have resolved that question about do I really trust Him? I'm sure the next 6 months will make it abundantly clear whether I have or not. But I think for a lot of us, whether we admit it or not, many of us just simply don't trust God. We don't trust that His plan is better than the plans that maybe we've sketched out for ourselves. We don't trust His pace or His process. And I guess surely part of our journey of faith is to grow in our genuine, real, heartfelt, right at the core of our being, ability to trust God. That it's in that place when you can say, I know that I know that I know that I trust you, God. It was a and for me, I was really confronted with that at 5:10 this morning. As I sat going, God, really? Nothing? Like, nothing? Are you sure? And him going, well, who are you trying to please? Who are you going to be obedient to? Are you just going to trust me? Yeah, but do you think maybe you could give me something? I'm going to ask Sean to just come and share in communion. He's going to share just a little bit of his story, and then we're just going to have a time where we're just maybe have a little period of reflection and a bit of space where it's just us and God. And I really trust that God will do something in this place this morning. And to be honest, if he does or doesn't, it's not my problem without being an idiot. So this morning I've gone, okay, God, I'm just going to be obedient. And I'm just going to hand the rest of it over to you, and it's completely up to you. Because whether you move or whether you change people's lives, you know, I have so little to do with that. That it's okay. So within reason, I wipe my hands of whatever happens in the next 20 minutes. And I just trust that God's got it sorted.
It's all on me.
Yeah. Don't stuff it up.
Thank you. Well, actually, excuse my voice. I've been borderline laryngitis for the last 10 days, but I'm fine. I think I'm just tired. But actually, I was supposed to do communion this morning, straight after praise and worship, but Michael just randomly came up to me and asked me if I could speak after him. So I thought it was quite interesting, and having heard what he's talking about is very interesting, because I had a message that I wanted to share for communion, and but the Lord had different ideas, and he wanted me to share something completely different and wasn't really prepared to share it, but I can't disobey God. I have to share what he wants me to share. And I don't want to go into too much detail, because I know we don't have too much time, but the Lord really wanted me to summarize the year that I've had. I guess, as you said, it's a time that we reflect back on the year that's been, and we assess the year, and you know, we could analyze the year, or we can think about the highs and the lows. And for me, it's been one of the most chaotic, challenging, stressful years of my life. And I never saw these things coming. But I can honestly say, as I stand here before you today, I praise God for the hardships that I've experienced this year. I thank him for where I'm at, and I praise him for where I'm going. The Lord has truly blessed me, and If the world wanted to throw everything it could at me this year, it certainly tried. But I can honestly stand here before you and say my faith never wavered. I completely trusted in God. And I guess I want to encourage you all today. I don't know what you've been going through or what you've been experiencing, but hopefully what I share will encourage you this morning. If I was to summarize my year without going into too much detail in point form, I can tell you I was betrayed. I was criticized and questioned. I was lied to and deceived. I was used and taken advantage of. My integrity was attacked. False allegations were brought against me. I was accused of things I never did. I was accused of crimes I never committed. Threats of court action were made against me. They schemed and plotted to bring me down and ruin me. They tried to drag my name through the mud. Gee, it's tough, actually. They tried to extort $600,000 out of me. My family and I were threatened. Everything I worked so hard to build was taken away before it had a chance to flourish. I lost over $500,000. My faith in God was mocked. I was called the Antichrist and the false Messiah. They said I was from a cult. They said it's their God against my God. They constantly slandered me. They spread vicious rumors and lies about me. They tried to take everything away from me. And they rejected every attempt of mine to bring peace and reconciliation. So that's summarizing the year that I've had. And it was quite chaotic, I can tell you. It's very challenging. But, I mean, I get emotional now, but I can honestly say, like you said, Michael, you felt that it was the world was revolving around you, that you were just on your own. For me, I can't say that because I knew that God was with me through all of this. I really did. In fact, he's all I had. You know, I had such a supportive... such a wonderful wife. She's such a blessing. She's such a blessing. See, God knows who we need in life. God knows who we need to get through the trials and the tribulations of life. And my wife was there every step of the way supporting me. And God used certain people throughout the year to come in and strengthen me and help me through this. You know, so strategic our God is. You only have to just look and see. You just got to understand that if you trust in God, he shows you things that you wouldn't normally see. And God was so strategic to bring the right people in my life at the right time. You know, Bruce being one of them and his wife, Naree, as well, helping in the way that they could. And the list goes on. And, you know, you feel that the world is against you and that you can't take the pressure, but God is so good. You know, in the midst of all the trials and the tribulations, I saw the hand of God every step of the way. So when I look back, I can clearly see how the Lord brought me through. You know, I stand here today, I stand here in victory. I stand here today in victory. God has given me victory throughout the hardships and the challenges of my life. What really got me through are two things, because I was confused. Why is this happening? What's going on? You know, I started this company 2.5 years ago, and I put everything into it. I left my job to build this business. I put everything on the line. I put all my money into it. I put my heart and soul into the business because I knew it was that God had a plan for my life, and I wanted to pursue this business. And unfortunately, you know, I've got a very good friend, my friend Joe, who's my business partner. He's a real blessing. He's such a wonderful guy. But we made the biggest mistake of inviting two other guys into our partnership. And it was great at the start. We were all great friends, and it was wonderful. But unfortunately, just a lot of issues in their own lives started to impact on us. And long story short, I asked them. I said, guys, we've just got to go our separate ways. You know, let's work something out. We've just got to go our separate ways. We can't continue down this path. And the Lord made it very clear to me that I had to move on from these men. Because I said, Lord, why are you holding back from me? You have given me so many wonderful promises that I hold on to. Those promises are more real than I am standing here right now before you. I hold on to the promises of God. But yet, my circumstances and the circumstances of the business are a complete contradiction of your promises. But yet, I don't base my perspective on the circumstances. I hold on to the promises of God. His promises are yes and amen. I'm holding the word of God because here are his promises. You know, I know you guys might look at the Bible in your iPhone. I'm telling you, nothing beats holding the word of God in your hand. You know, the promises of God are in this book. But then God takes it further. He gives you specific promises tailored to your calling in life. He gives you specific promises, and God has given me those. So when I think about the promises of God and the specific promises he's given me, and then I look at my circumstances, it's a complete contradiction. But I can honestly say that through it all, I held on to this so tight. I held on to it so tight, and I kept my eyes fixed on Jesus. (Clears throat) What do people have if they don't have the promises of God? What do they have if they don't have faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Where do they look to? I often look around and there's so many people I know who don't have the Lord in their lives, and they go through very similar things that I've gone through, but they don't have Jesus. The only thing that's kept me grounded, the only thing that's kept me strong, is my faith and trust in the Lord and His Word. What else kept me strong was looking to Jesus Himself, seeing the life that he lived, His life, His death, His resurrection. I mean, he left the splendor and glory of heaven, and He came down into this world humble as a man, and He walked the earth, and all He did was live to serve others. All He did was live in complete humility. He had a genuine love for everyone that we can't even comprehend. And yet, they found ways to criticize Him. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was blameless. But they even found ways to criticize Him. They found ways to spread rumors about Him and to slander Him. And they plotted and schemed against Him to bring Him down. They were relentless in their attack on Him. And we know the story, to the point where they put Him through that horrific punishment and they crucified Him on the cross. So I know there's a scripture in Matthew that says the servant is not above the Lord, in the sense that the way I look at that is, if Christ Jesus was subject to all these things in this world, we've all got to accept, so are we. We are born sinners. We're only made righteous and holy because of His sacrifice on the cross. He was perfect. He didn't deserve what He got, but He took that for us. So that gave me great strength, because my Lord has been through it all. He intimately knows what I'm experiencing and what I'm going through. Not only does He know the circumstances and the situation surrounding my life and my business, but He's intimately been involved in something Himself very similar, but so much worse. And the greatest thing is this, that death couldn't hold Him down. Death could not hold Him down. He rose again on the third day. Now, and I think, you know, you might ask the question, Lord, where are you? See, I never asked that question. I can honestly say, I never said, Lord, where are you? I said, Lord, what are you showing me in all of this? What are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn from this experience? How can I grow? And I can honestly say, He's refined me. I've been thrown into the furnace, but I've been refined. I'm a better man for the hardships I've encountered, because God has given me a godly perspective. I don't judge His promises and His faithfulness by my personal experiences and, like you said, feelings up and down, but the Word of God, it's unshakable, it doesn't change, it's yes and amen. You know, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word will never fail. So that's why I look to this, no matter what's going on in my life, I look to the Word of God, because it cannot be proven faulty. It cannot be shaken. The enemy knows that. He knows the Word of God is truth. And it's backed by all the honor of the name of Jesus. So I encourage you all, you've got to hold on to this. This book was so encouraging to me. The scriptures that I read were such a blessing to me and encouraged me. And Michael went through some of them. But as you read the Word of God, you've got to understand that it's activated in your life. You read it, and in faith you receive it so it can be activated in your life. What can we stand on if we don't accept that this is truth? So I choose to believe everything I read in this book, and I apply it to my life and know that this is what's going to get me through. And I can honestly say it has. It has. I've come through that. Yeah, and again, I can tell you the hand of God was moved in such an amazing way. The victory that God has given me, because I held on to His promises. You know, and I've said this to some of you before. Faith is not faith until it's tested. And Michael spoke about this as well. Faith is not faith until it's tested. You know, you show me your faith by the actions that you take. That is how we show God our faith. We don't sit back and wait around for things to fall into place and say, right, now I'm ready to step forward on that. No, faith causes us to move forward purely in our just trust and confidence in God and His Word. If you ever feel that God has left you, you know, even Jesus Himself, when he was on the cross, he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus even knows how that feels. He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? But the truth is, the Father was always there. He knew exactly what was going on. He saw the horrific things they did to his son, and it broke his heart. See, God is looking down on all of us. He sees what we're going through. He knows intimately what every single person in this room is going through. He knows it so much more than we actually know it ourselves, because he knows what I'm going to experience tomorrow. He knows what I'm going to experience an hour from now. God knows everything, but we have to trust that he has a plan. We have to trust that there is a purpose in all of this. He's not the author of hardships, but he'll use them. He'll use them to draw us closer to him. He'll use them to refine us and to build character in us so that we can be transformed more and more into the image of his son. God will always use every situation in our life to draw us closer to him if we just change our perspective, get away from the victim mentality, and say, Lord, you're with me. In everything I do, you are with me. What are you showing me in all of this? What are you showing me? What can I learn? How can I grow? All of us desire, you know, something in our lives. We want happiness. We want joy. We want health. We want peace. We want love. We want to live a life of purpose. We want to make a difference. I know all of us desire that. And God created us so that all of us can do those things. He wants you to outlive the plan and purpose he has for your life. But it can't be achieved without him. It can't be achieved independent of him. He needs to be the center. He needs to be involved in every aspect of your life. You know, my biggest mistake was when we invited those two guys to be our business partners, I didn't ask God. We made an emotional decision and invited these guys into our business. Our hearts were in the right place. But I never asked the Lord. I never said, Lord, are these guys right for my business? Because I know the plan and purpose you have for me. Are these guys a part of it? Are they right? And it turns out that they weren't. You know, and I used to struggle with these guys. You know, they had so many personal problems, and I used to pray for them and carry their burdens home and just support these guys. And they started blaming God. And I said, listen, you can't blame God because of the decisions that you've made for your own life. Everyone has to be accountable for the decisions that they make themselves. I don't blame God. You know, the scriptures say people ruin their own lives by their own foolishness and then they're angry at God. Why does God get the blame for the decisions that we make? When we should go to him first and say, Lord, give me wisdom. I'm not going to make a decision until I hear clearly from you on this, Lord God. I need wisdom. But again, I say, you know, Jesus, he rose from the dead. You know, he sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. He's not defeated. That is the ultimate example to all of us, that it doesn't matter what we go through, even to the point of death. Death can't hold us down. We only have to look to Jesus. Even if I die tomorrow, I will rise again. So everything else I encounter in life, whatever I encounter, the pressures I experience, whatever it is, nothing can break me. Nothing can hold me down. I can rise up and conquer for the glory of God just because Jesus rose up and conquered. He is the greatest example. We only have to look to him, and then we can actually stop saying, Lord, why me? Why me? Poor me. Look what Jesus went through. Look what he experienced. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. We're going to come into a time of communion. So I could pass these around. I've got a scripture here I want to share, actually. I did put it in my notes. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. That's a great scripture. And because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. So the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. See, what was awaiting me was the promises of God for my life. They were my greatest strength, because it's God's word. It's inspired by him. It was spoken by him. He confirmed it to me. And his promises are more real to me now than they've ever been. See, the easiest part for me was losing the money. That was the easiest part. God can restore anything. I'm not worried about that. The hardest part was what these guys did to me, how they turned on me and what they put me through. They were my friends. And it was unjust what they did. Jesus endured the cross because of the joy awaiting him. That joy was his resurrection. That joy was his ascension. That joy was to be his glory. But that joy was that he ransomed all of us. He paid the price for our sin. He carried it upon himself on that cross. Yeah, it was Phil that was praying in regards to the Philippines, the typhoon that swept through, and he said, all of creation is groaning under the weight of man's sin. The Bible talks about that. Creation is groaning under the weight of our sin. Yet Jesus carried it all in himself, in his body on that cross. So for me, that's the greatest power. When we actually can comprehend what he's done, it's unmerited, it's unearned. We didn't deserve it. But he sacrificed himself for us. He went through such turmoil and hardship because of the joy awaiting him. And what I'm trying to say is, whatever you're going through or whatever you might go through, it's not enjoyable, it's not pleasant, but God is with you. God loves you. He shares your pain. He knows your pain. He's experienced it himself. But he knows the joy is awaiting you if you can endure. If you can endure. So I put it to you. I say, Lord, what are you trying to show me in all of this? Why am I experiencing these hardships in my life? What are your promises for my life? And after we take communion, I will stay back. Because I feel that God wants me to pray for those who don't know. What are the specific promises of God for their life? We've got the promises in his word. It's available to everyone. God has no favorites. You can claim the promises of God, each and every one of us. But what is the specific promises that he has for you based on the reason he created you? And I want to pray that God would ignite those in your lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can sit at your table this morning because we are royal priests washed in the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that because of the joy awaiting you, you endured the cross for all of us. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that is already ours. The world may throw all kinds of things at us, but praise God, you have overcome the world. We just thank you, Lord, for this time to come into communion and partake of this meal in your presence. So let us partake this morning. The biscuit being the bread representing the body of Jesus. And the juice that we take this morning is representing his blood that was shed for us. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.